SMQB's episode, Patrick Ewing. That's it, episode 33. We cover NFL week two, do our Paul Krause takeaways as we always do. Then we go through the Plaxico Burress locked up picks, which the boys are not very good at picking. Hopefully moving forward, we do a little bit better. MLB, Ryder Cup preview, and then a punchable face of the week and perhaps the best Ted Lasso ever. Enjoy it.
Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
SMQBs 33 coming at you international this week. Hey, House, you know I admire you for so many reasons. You know that, right?
I didn't, but it's good to hear.
I do. And one of them is that you are really an extraordinary father. But do you know why I think you're an extraordinary father this week? Do you know why?
Because I took my children to see the great Philadelphia Eagles.
Because after you took your children to see the absolutely horrendous quarterback play in the Eagles 49ers game, you got in that car, you didn't let that stand, and you drove down 95 and showed Jake what good quarterback play looks like by going to the Ravens Kansas City games.
Said,
son, don't grow up to be like Jalen Hurts, grow up to be these other two. And that is why I admire you, House.
Jalen won't be fine, he just has to change his clothing. Did you guys like the banana suit?
The banana suit was not a good vibe.
Huh? Oh God,
that was rough.
The highlighter suit.
Hey. How's everybody doing, Pope? Where are you coming at us from this week?
Somewhere east of the U.S., an island known as Zavar in Croatia. How about that for you?
Dedication. Excellent. Doesn't sound like you're abroad at all.
Sounds like you're in a Croatian jail right now.
It's been rough. Yeah, no, it's almost 11:15 p.m.
Wow. And you've had some Croatian wine.
So this time I'm way ahead of Rooster, which is unusual for pacing.
Sounds like you're in a Game of Thrones castle.
Yeah. This is going to go swimmingly, I can tell. All right, let's go. It's week two of the NFL. House, give us a little recap. Tell us what we saw, what we need to know.
Do you still want to convince the fans, Bison, that the NFL isn't very exciting? Is that
No. I said week one wasn't exciting.
The NFL gave the double middle finger to you this weekend. Ooh. Ooh. Because let me tell you something. If there's any question, what is the best sporting league in the universe? It is the National Football League. What a week two. Now, we might hear a little bit later how the refs tried to soil week two, but notwithstanding the referees, we had some incredibly exciting action. Two of the better games in a long time. A furious comeback by Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans to shock the Seattle Seahawks at home and knock two of our SMQBs out of a big time winner's pool. So we have some people very unhappy with the Seahawks on this call.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the best pound for pound heavyweight quarterback battles that you could possibly see in a long time in that Sunday night game between the Ravens and the Chiefs, which I was blessed to be able to go to. Thank you. Shout out to our fan, Bruce Plaxton, who calls in and listens to the show. How about those Cardinals and the Vikings in that big heavyweight battle where they were just throwing punches left and right? 34-33 victory by the Cardinals. We had a great game between the Rams and the Colts. We have the Raiders that were shocking a lot of people to knock off the Steelers. We have the Carolina Panthers who've moved to 2-0, the Denver Broncos who have moved 2-0. So I don't know, guys, I know it's still early yet. There's a lot of football, but Rooster, I mean, things are a little upside down, huh?
They're upside down, but how do you start out that conversation without the Thursday night game, Giants, Washington football team? Comes down to 1 point at the end of the game. It was an exciting game.
Very exciting. Is three lead changes in the last 5 minutes.
Is the punchable face going to be the guy that jumped off sides?
The punchable face in that game has to be the refs, in my opinion. They handed the game to the football team. But the Giants really have no one to blame but themselves. Ooh. A lot of dumb penalties. And none of them were committed by Danny Dimes. I mean, he played almost a flawless game.
Best game he's ever had.
Teammates were just careless. Dexter Lawrence won't even accept responsibility for that stupid offside play that would have ended the game with the Giants' victory. And he's offside.
What do you mean he didn't accept responsibility?
He's saying it was no big deal. That's not what causes the game. Causes the game. You know, the Hopkins missed the field goal. We won. And then they, of course, the refs called offsides because they were, I mean, if it was third down, there was a penalty in that game.
Yeah, but who's the guy who dropped the pass in the end zone wide open? It should never
be Darius Slayton. Actually, that's true. Darius Slayton dropped a wide open, perfectly thrown touchdown pass.
But Rooster, one more thing.
But what you were saying, House, was things are upside down. The Denver Broncos are 2-0, and the Chiefs are in last place in that division. The Raiders are 2-0, and the Chiefs are 1-1 in that division. That's just, who would have guessed? That's crazy.
Yeah, but is anyone on this podcast buying stock in the Denver Broncos right now?
Absolutely not. It's just unpredictable, though. I mean, no one would have predicted 2-0 for them.
No.
Can I just ask, though, because we joked with Pope in week one, although Pope was dead serious, that it was a good loss to the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the Giants did look okay.
And that was right.
Can you tell us, Rooster, is there such a good thing as a good loss? And did the Giants just have one Thursday night?
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, they lost the game. They lost the game because of themselves. Joe Judge is supposed to be a huge disciplinarian. You know, you guys aren't supposed to jump off sides on his teams. And that's how they lost the game. So I don't see the upside of that game other than Danny Dimes. Really, as you know, I'm not a big fan. He looked like the second best quarterback in the East on Thursday night. He really did.
You guys are dogging Washington here. How about the quarterback play of our good old buddy Heineken?
He was for where he's coming from, he played amazingly well with all kinds of poise.
Do you want to hear a crazy stat that I heard about him today? And I mean, this is a statistic. This is not me being a homer. There's all these advanced metrics now that they try and apply in football and everything. And there's two stats. There's it's like long balls that shouldn't have been, you know, plays that shouldn't have been made and like near interception. So in other words, it's supposed to rank like the plays that most quarterbacks wouldn't have been able to make. And then on the other side, the quarterbacks who got away with passes that should have been picked. Okay. And they're pretty popular in the stat head category. And of quarterbacks who have 100 attempts at this point, Heineken is number one in both of them. Number one in making the most plays and number one in having the least balls that should have been turned over, that should have been picked.
That's deep.
Look, this kid, he's had three starts and all he's done is really played well. Okay. I mean, is he a Super Bowl quarterback? No, he's not. But Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Okay. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. So it's a pretty low bar if you have a good team around you. This kid is okay. And he did that last week. Keep in mind, on a short week, he went all preseason as the backup, not getting the reps. And then they had a short week to turn around. So I don't know. I think he's getting beat up a lot. Everyone's just writing him off as not a possible, you know, NFL solution at quarterback. I'm curious. I hope he stays healthy. That's been another knock on him. I hope he stays healthy and we get to see him play all season.
Let's see how he does against the Bills.
Yeah, it'll be a good test.
I don't want to go too heavy on the NFC East, but I wrote to you guys after the game. I think there were a couple things that were exposed in that game. If Heineken remains the quarterback, he has tunnel vision. He does not go through his progressions. In fact, one of the only throws where he looked off receivers was that amazing touchdown pass to Ricky Seals-Jones, because that was not his first choice. That was a great throw.
It was.
But most of the time, you knew exactly where he was throwing, which resulted in his interception in the game. And I think the Giants, you know, eventually teams are going to understand their best play is run pass option where Danny Dimes runs around the corner to the left. Yep. I mean, that's been their most effective play so far this year.
Yep. And the football team thought they were losing that game for three solid quarters, and the Giants just spit the bit.
Oh, I don't think that's true. That was a close game. That was a close game.
Dominated. Hey, speaking of
y'all are spending a lot of time on that game. How about the Cowboys?
Yeah, I was going to move to that game. Speaking of, there aren't good losses. The difference between the Cowboys' reaction to their loss to the Bucs and the Chargers' reaction to their loss to the Cowboys sort of makes the point. The Chargers had two touchdowns called back and 99 yards worth of penalties called on them. Mm. And they're not saying, "Oh boy, we're so happy that we came within 3 points of the Cowboys." You know, they blew that game. They absolutely blew that game with a little help from the refs. And they're not happy.
Well, the one touchdown pass that got called back was really abysmal. The ineligible player downfield. Yeah. I mean, the guy was like 2 yards downfield on the complete opposite side of the play, had nothing to do with anything. It wasn't a screen play or something.
Right.
Herbert threw the ball about 50 yards in the air on a line.
And he got pulled by the defensive lineman. He got pulled. You know, a half a yard beyond where he needed to be by the defensive lineman.
But, you know, and there's
the story in Dallas was if Zuerlein hadn't bailed out McCarthy, then the story of the week would be McCarthy is on the chopping block with horrible game management. Horrible. They got very lucky.
Well, at least they finally started their best running back and saw good results from that.
Yeah.
I think one of the other huge stories from week two, though, unfortunately, you know, you need a little bit of luck and to avoid the injury bug to make it all the way. There were some big injuries on Sunday. Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton, Tua Tagovailoa, Daryl Henderson, Carson Wentz. There's a lot of big injuries that are affecting teams. And I got to give one shout out. Far and away, the most famous sack and certainly the biggest play in Eagles history was the strip sack that ended Super Bowl 52 when Brandon Graham sacked Tom Brady. Pictures behind me, and Brandon Graham suffered a torn Achilles tendon. He's 33 years old. He has an incredible motor. He has been a Pro Bowler. He's a terrific, terrific defensive end. I don't think he'll suit up again. I think it's hard to come back as a defensive end at 34, 35 years old. And that may be the last game he plays for the Eagles. Right. So that was a bummer injury for our town on that
one. Two teams have lost their entire backfields, the 49ers and the Ravens. They have like three injured running backs.
How does Carson Wentz injure both ankles on the same play? I mean, were you more upset that Carson got injured or the Eagles lost?
That the Eagles lost. I mean,
that's a close one.
I mean, isn't there a point though with Carson where, I mean, you do have to say, like, does the player know how to take care of himself and avoid injury? And look, this was a knock on RG3. RG3 was, you know, running full speed all the time and never got down, you know, never got out of the way, never ran out of bounds. And sure enough, I mean, he lasted one season really effectively. I mean, isn't that partly on the quarterback?
No, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney spears him with his head. Darren Donald falls awkwardly onto his ankles. At a certain point, it's just really bad luck. I don't know how he could have avoided that injury.
Bad karma.
It really is. And they might have won that game. I mean, they put it, who do they put in? Jacob Eason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
And now they're 0-2.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I was shocked that the Colts were that close. I had the Rams blowing them out.
Why are these injuries? Is there a hypothesis on what's going on with all these injuries? Or is it just, you know, that they're just law of averages and they're all happening at the beginning of the season?
I don't know if this is a hypothesis, but, you know, particularly in this preseason, first of all, this preseason was only 3 games instead of 4. And most of the coaches decided, I don't want to get my player injured in the preseason. A lot of these guys had no action in the preseason.
Right.
I don't know if there's a strength and conditioning issue here, but that's one hypothesis.
Well, it's a tough call because the Rams played their starting running back in the preseason and lost him for the year.
Right. Yeah.
Who? Darryl Henderson?
No. Cam...
Cam Akers.
Oh, Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because Daryl Henderson got hurt too.
Yep.
Well, you also got guys going down in practice. So, I mean,
how about this as a look ahead for you, Mr. Michler, with that guy Tom Brady behind you? Do you know what Tom Brady reached on this past week and where he is in a NFL all time record?
In number of touchdowns?
No. Tom Brady now stands 499 yards away from the all-time NFL passing yardage record, and his next 2 weeks are the Rams next week, followed by the Patriots. Who do you think he's going to break the record against?
The second stat I heard is the most remarkable. Do you know he's 13 touchdowns away from having more TDs in his 40s than his 20s?
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow, that's amazing.
He has thrown like 140 TDs in his 40s. The second highest is like Drew Brees at 57.
I honestly think he throws the deep ball better now than he did in his 30s.
Did you watch the game Sunday?
Yeah,
5 touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Was there any point that you were nervous during that game?
Yes, I was nervous a little bit when it got to 28-25. We have some problems with our defense. We have some problems. And it could be – I have us down for a loss against the Rams. I don't think we're going to LA and winning.
Well, your defensive backfield is hurt.
They're all hurt.
Everybody's hurt.
I mean, yeah, they are. Murphy Bunning, that doesn't help. Carlton Davis got banged up, our second corner. But he's, you know, he ended up playing the end of the game. We got young guys in there. I don't like it at all.
What's the, we got to talk a little bit about the Monday night game. The Sunday night game is what I'm talking about.
Amazing.
Baltimore and KC. What do we make of Kansas City losing that game? I mean, Baltimore, do they have a running back? Or are they just playing with 10 on offense at this point?
His name is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, they stuck Lamar Murray in there, or Latavius Murray.
Yeah,
Murray.
Latavius.
He did fine. I mean, they plugged in a couple of running backs who did fine. Their offensive line is moving people out, and they have the strategy. I think other teams are going to see that strategy is double cover Tyreek Hill, take him out of the game, and run so that you eat clock and don't give the ball to Mahomes. That's the way to beat the Chiefs, and they almost didn't do it.
And what's happened to their defense? I mean, the Browns put a ton of points on them, and now they just gave up 36.
I think their linebackers are hurt.
Yeah,
there was no defense in that game. There was absolutely no defense in the game. Lamar Jackson, first of all, both of them look like video game like characters between Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
He looked like Barry Sanders putting on moves in the hole.
It's
unbelievable.
It was incredible athleticism by the offense on these teams. The two tight ends put on a show, Kels and Mark Andrews. But I just don't know that for 17 games, Lamar Jackson can put an entire team on his shoulders.
Right.
So Pope, get in here for a minute. You were across the pond. Did you get to see anything? What's the reaction? Do people care on the other side of the ocean?
I actually didn't get to see any of the games. I went to sleep before the Cowboys even kicked on Sunday. So, you know, it's a 7-hour time difference. Woke up at like 4:30 a.m. just shitting my pants, not wanting to look at the score for the Cowboy game, not knowing anything, and pleasantly surprised. And of course, stayed up for a while reading the recap of the game. And at the same time I was doing that, the Ravens and Chiefs was going on, and it looked like the Chiefs were going to run away with it at one point in the fourth. So what an amazing, you know, week. And we'll get to it because we're talking Ryder Cup later on, but there's not really much enthusiasm here for the NFL. In fact, I've seen a bunch of New York Yankees hats, which of course we'll get to as well.
So it's 12:30 there for you?
It's actually 11:30, Rooster.
So
wait, time you get like into your second bottle of Old Forester. What's that?
This seems like a good point to have the conversation about real fandom. You mean you did not stay up to watch the Cowboys play the Chargers?
Yeah.
We don't know if he, Nace, did he go to sleep or did he pass out?
You know, I need an entire SMQB episode on real fandom. You have a Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champion, and Milk leaves town to play golf. And the first Americans.
Then my wives. We
the first
wives.
Americans are home.
I wouldn't have volunteered that.
First Americans are home.
That's not helping your case.
They're represented.
And Bison deserts his team and Taylor Heineken for Louisville bourbon. And Pope runs off to Croatia. I mean, I don't even know what to say about you guys and the support of your teams. It's not real fandom.
Listen, we all know that the Eagles need more support than the rest of these teams out right there. So you have a special role to play this year in supporting that team.
Hey, we're going to have some good SMUQB violence on Monday night next week, too.
I hope you can find a European cafe to watch it.
So that'll be at about 3:30 a.m. my time in France.
Oh, I'll FaceTime and show you the TV.
Perfect. Yeah.
No problem.
All right. Well, let's do this. You know, that's a little bit of a recap, but we got to do our Paul Krause takeaways for the week. I'm going to go first this week on this one. And it's, you know, it's not a new thought, but God, I've watched Justin Herbert play two games now, because I was at the first one against Washington and then watched the Dallas game with him. I mean, that guy is, he's impressive. I mean, he looks so in control when he rolls out. Everything he does, I'm impressed with. I mean, his long ball, the arm strength, the mobility, the way he controls the offense. That's my takeaway right now is I think that guy, man, he might have the inside edge to be the best QB, pure passing quarterback we've seen in quite a while. So Rooster, what do you got as a takeaway?
I totally agree with that. I'm thinking of the play where he's standing on the left hash and throws like a 30 yard out. And there's about a space the size of the football that this ball can be delivered to and caught. And he puts it right in that space. I mean, he had to throw the ball 15 extra yards because of where he was on the field and just put it right in there. I also am just astounded by the ability of Kyler Murray to make that throw to Rondell Moore, rolling to his left and just like flicking the ball 50 yards down the field. I mean, that you shouldn't even be able to make that pass in the position his body was in. I just think the quarterback play is exceptional this year. I'm really, really shocked to see how well Derek Carr is playing. And I think last week was not, a mirage. Sam Darnold is playing pretty damn well with a new address. He looked good for the Panthers.
Milk, what do you got as a takeaway?
My takeaway is, gosh, is the NFL a week-to-week league? Last week, we had given up on the Tennessee Titans. They go to Seattle and win. We had given up on Aaron Rodgers. He throws four touchdowns last night. And my favorite is that we crowned Jameis Winston, the next best quarterback. And what does he do? He does what Jameis Winston always does.
Shits the bed.
Shits the bed. Two picks. Almost had a third turnover. It was just like watching. I was having a nightmare flashback. That is exactly what that guy does. I am no longer worried about the New Orleans Saints.
What's going on with Josh Allen? Did anyone watch any of his game? What's the deal with him this year?
No, he looked better. He definitely looked better this week. Yeah, okay. I think,
you think so, Richard?
I only saw him in week one. He did not look good in week
one. They crushed Miami, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came
back. Pope, you got a Paul Krause takeaway for us, even though you didn't see any of the games?
Yeah, I didn't see one game, but I obviously had a little time on my hands in the sunny island area I am, and to do a little reading. And some of the surprises, you know, Titans over Seahawks, Panthers over Saints, the Chiefs losing to the Ravens when they were looking unstoppable. I think my takeaway is the NFL is about parity. And we're going to find out if there's real parity this year when the Bucs play the Rams next week. Because if the Bucs can go on the road and beat Stafford and the Rams, they look loaded. Then, you know, maybe the Bucs are clearly a step ahead of everyone else. But if the Rams hold serve at home, and it just serves to my point that parity is a big factor this year. And you're not going to have any 13-4, you know, 12-5 type teams. It's going to be stacked.
Hmm. All right. And House, give us your takeaway.
My takeaway is after a quick little stretching and warm up week one, the truth is this is a stars league. Week two proved that. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Josh Allen, they all went to town this week. All of these stars really carried their teams. But I do think that there's a new star, at least for this season, emerging that Rooster alluded to. Derek Carr has looked great in two games. He is leading the NFL with 817 passing yards. And I think he is actually real. I think the Raiders, I think Chucky's a good coach. And I really think they've got a chance to make some noise, even in a tough division. I like Derek Carr.
I do too. I agree with that.
I need more than two games.
Yeah, definitely.
We've seen this before.
He has talent, right? He's got the talent, but he's never been able to put it all together. So we'll see. All right, House. this is a segment that we're only going to keep around maybe a week or so longer. But I think we got to report back on the Plaxico locked up picks.
Well. If you're just joining us for the first time, you should know that the members of the SMQBs are probably not who should be picking your stocks, your anything in life, and certainly not your NFL games, but we're still trying to have a competition amongst us. We are picking against the spread, and we remain over. We are now 0-10. We had a couple of Seahawks losses this week, and we had three folks, including Patrick Meichler, who said, take out a second mortgage on the Washington football team. Take out your bank account, everything you can.
The most can't miss bet of all time.
I literally made people homeless this past week.
So, fellas, my suggestion to us this week, if at all possible, can we please take five different choices so we increase our chances that someone gets a win?
So yes, we call this the Plaxico Burris locked out segment because we all shoot ourselves in the leg every time we do this.
Apparently.
It is terrible.
Hope, you are with us. So do you want to get us started on your lock of the week?
Well, you know, my lock did so well last week. How the fucking Seahawks spit the bit against the Titans after looking so good in week one. Yeah, I know. It knocked me out in my suicide. Everyone in the suicide pools, I'm out in. But all right, I'll take the lead, and you guys can follow or not. But I think the Chiefs are going to be really pissed off coming home after totally collapsing against the Ravens. They're giving 6.5 to the Chargers. And I realize the Chargers played well against the Cowboys, probably should have won the game. But I think that Mahomes going to rise to the occasion. And I'm giving the points to the Chargers because I'm taking the Chiefs on my lock of the week.
All right, Pope. We got you down.
What's the spread in the Ravens Lions game?
In the Ravens Lions game, it is Ravens -8 away at Detroit. And I'll turn to you now, Rooster, because it sounds like you've done a little studying. You're up.
All right. I'm very confident about this one, which means I will be wrong. Yes. I'm taking the Cardinals over the Jags. Cardinals +7.5.
Cardinals -7.5, and I like it. Cardinals -7.5 at Jacks. It's a tough spread away, but the Cardinals look great, and Jacks is a joke.
Terrible.
Good one.
They're terrible.
Good one. All right, Milk, how should people lose their money on you this week?
Yeah, don't take out a third mortgage on any of these bets. I've got two, but one's a caveat if their quarterback is playing. If Carson Wentz is not playing, I love the Titans -5 against the Colts. If he's playing, don't touch the game. My regular lock is Panthers Texans. I'm buying into the Panthers. Panthers -7.5. I think they go in there and win by double digits.
You are taking Sam Darnold and the Panthers -7.5 away at the Texans.
I like what I'm seeing. Good defense. Okay.
I really hope all of our friends.
That was my third pick. That was my third choice, Milk. I think that's a good pick.
I think someone else is buying into the Panthers.
Yeah.
All right.
Carson Wentz is out of that game. Titans is my number one.
Bison.
All right. This is a lock. It's going to happen. It's going to shock you. But I am sticking with my same pick as last week.
Oh, boy.
You take the Washington football team at Buffalo getting 9. Getting 9 points.
Oh, I've got it as 8.5, but I'm going to give you my handicapper as at 8.5, but I'm going to give you the 9 because you're that desperate for a win.
Give the nine.
I'm going to give him the 9.
I got 9.5 from Cardelli on that game. I got 9.5 from
Cardelli. I saw 9 also. Yeah, I saw 9.
Well, right. let me tell you.
They're not losing by 9.
In case we go 0-14, I'm going to give everyone a way that they can make some money because, as I was just saying, the Las Vegas Raiders are real. The Miami Dolphins are banged up, and the Raiders getting -3.5 at home against the Dolphins is like stealing candy from a baby. Take Milk's third mortgage out and put it on the Raiders. They're going to crush the Dolphins. Wow.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one.
All right. Wait, you said getting 3.5?
They're -3.5. I'm sorry.
The Dolphins are getting 3.5.
The Dolphins are getting 3.5. The Raiders are favored by 3.5.
I think we're going to win at least 3 of our picks this week.
Be great. We're all equally in first place at 0-2.
Listen, we're all tied right now. That's the beauty of this thing.
We'll get to a 5% winning percentage.
All right. Well, listen, we can't do any worse than we did last week. That's for sure. So, or the week before that. So here we go. All right. Moving right along. Good stuff from the NFL. Lots to talk about always, but we got to move along. And we can't ignore what's happening in Major League Baseball right now. We're getting down to the stretch run here. Most of these divisions are fairly locked up. I mean, it's kind of wonderful to watch the utter collapse that is the New York Yankees, who are now in fourth place. I mean, only the Orioles are separating them from dead last in the NL East. Tampa Bay seems to be completely in control. Tampa Bay is in control, running away with that division. The White Sox, same thing, completely in control in the Central. Houston over Oakland. Nothing really super interesting going on, in at least for the division winners in the AL. For the wild card, you've got Boston and Toronto. By the way, I think a couple people on this SMQB pod said keep an eye on Toronto at the beginning of the season.
All right, look, can I just say though, for the Yankees fans out there. You make it seem like we're in the basement. We're 2 games in the loss column behind Boston, and we have probably, 8 games left against them this year. We have a ton of games left against Toronto. We're only one game behind them. So the wild card is totally up for grabs, and I guarantee the Yankees take it.
You're only half game out of the wild card.
Yep.
It's true. It's true. But I mean, we don't really need another podcast that, you know, licks the Yankees' ass all day, right? I mean, there's plenty that'll
do that. Don't we all really want to see the Red Sox Yankees one game playoff, though? Don't we want to see that?
Everybody except for Red Sox fans want to see that. Yeah.
Yankees finish at Red Sox at Blue Jays home against the Rays.
I have no interest in playing the Toronto Blue Jays in any sort of postseason, and you don't want to be in a one game playoff with them as well. They scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, if they had better pitching, they would be a dynamic team.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, a little more excitement in the NL. We're going to talk about the NL East in a minute. In the Central, Milwaukee running away with it. Clinched it. And, you know, I like to remind people that when we were talking about the NBA, somebody on here said, keep an eye on the Bucks. As being your
what does that
champion.
Have to do with Whoa, the Brewers?
What does that have to do with the Brewers?
I might repeat with the Brewers. I might be picking the Brewers of saying, keep an eye on the Brewers.
Make the call now.
They're quietly just doing their thing and just winning baseball games. So just something to keep an eye on. San Francisco and the Dodgers. Now, we all still probably owe an apology to the San Francisco.
Wait a minute. What do you mean we all?
Well, I'm pretty sure that this entire podcast, I'm pretty sure everybody on here questioned the
one of us.
Not out loud.
What? That's not true. We'll play that shit back. Everybody on here said that they had no chance of doing anything.
You said they didn't have one single talented player on their team.
I did say that. I don't think there's any disagreement. They started the season like cricket wireless, right? Milk, don't you agree?
He's gone. He's out.
Milk's gone.
He's done. He's had it. He's had it.
I'm in fucking Croatia, and I'm on milk.
But the Dodgers, thanks to my guy, Max Scherzer, who is like, he has a 0.78 ERA since he went over there. The Dodgers are 9-0 in the games he started. That's pretty impressive. So that's a really great race right now.
Isn't Trey Turner playing well, too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but good for them. Yep. And then in the NL East, where we have a little SMQB on SMQB violence going down. The Atlanta Bravos are 3 games up on the Philadelphia Harpers. And what's going to happen here?
We're going to be okay, because here's the deal. Our next 6, even though we suck against crappy teams, our next 6 are against the Orioles and the Pirates. And then September 28, 29, and 30, we play Pope's, sometimes Atlanta Braves, when the Rangers aren't good. And so if we get to that series, down 1, good night. It's over. We're taking it from Pope. We are taking
it. Don't you
got to sweep the series.
We're okay.
Don't you think you have to worry about the Orioles, since they beat you last night?
The Orioles were beating the Yankees. They've brought up their kids, and their kids are pretty good. But yeah. I think you should be very careful talking about other NL East teams, because in my hand, I have got the opening day lineup of the Washington Expos, and you should be embarrassed that you have 89 losses at this point. 89!
Good God, 89 losses.
89 losses.
So he's trying to bury the Yankees at 67 losses.
Listen, they're a pitching, joke. It's not even a real baseball team.
How did you study the Braves? The Braves final games too. I mean, they played the shitty D-backs for three. The Padres, who are going to probably be out of it pretty soon, for three. And then, you know, as long as the Braves go 500 or under 500, they're going to win the division.
I don't think I still don't want to play the Padres if I'm you guys. I mean, they're tearing each other apart in the dugout, but I don't want to play them.
They're four back in the wild card. They're going to be eliminated in the next three or four games.
How do the Nationals have almost as many wins as the Pirates? How is that possible?
Do you understand that the Expos had on opening day, they had Juan Soto, Victor Robles, Kyle Schwarber, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, John Lester, Starlin Castro, Trey Turner, Ryan Zimmerman. That team has 89 losses. You're a joke.
Well, they got rid of almost every one of those.
Well, they did get rid of the entire team.
Once they sucked.
Well, they the pitching collapsed. Strasburg's pitched about 20 innings in the last two seasons. Corbin is dismal at bat. I mean, Corbin's really terrible.
Yeah.
Really terrible. Robles, you know where Robles is playing baseball right now?
Where?
Triple A. Because they traded as a afterthought John Lester to the St. Louis Cardinals for a guy named Lane Thomas. And Lane Thomas came in and has been playing so well in center field, just an afterthought of a trade. It was literally like John Lester went to Rizzo and was like, can I go too, please, sir? Can I leave also at the trade deadline? And they got this guy, and Robles is in the minors now. I mean, Robles may not be back. This was Victor Robles was the number one prospect, not just for the Nats, but like in Major League Baseball. And Soto got called up before him because Robles had fallen down and hyperextended his elbow about 2 days before they needed to bring an outfielder up. So Soto came up to the majors because he was the next guy. And that's the legend of Juan Soto starts. And Robles has been an afterthought. And really, he may be done in the Nationals organization at this point.
Bison, so, I have a trivia question for you. Remember Adam Jones, former star for the Orioles?
For the Orioles, yeah.
Where's he playing now?
Well, he was with the Braves, I think, at one point after he left the O's.
Where is he,
but Mister? Where is he now?
China.
Is he in China? Yeah.
Or no, maybe Japan. I'm sorry, Japan.
Japan.
I like that guy. He's
playing in Japan, yeah.
He's pretty old, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's pretty old. I mean, when he didn't get a contract from the O's, I mean, he was an older guy. So, listen, baseball is going to be fun down the stretch. There's some good races, and those play-in games are kind of fun. I mean, you could have the Dodgers having to play, you know, one game to move into the playoffs, really, right? I mean, think about that. It could be
Don't put Kershaw on the mound again.
Could be the Dodgers versus the Padres, who a lot of people had those two teams as their World Series teams, and they could be in a one-game playoff. So there's a lot of fun stuff, and as long as the Phillies don't make it, I think it'll be fun.
By the way, never count out the Cardinals. They're always in it.
Crazy. Oh, they're always in it.
Bill, didn't your team bring up another young stud just like yesterday?
Yes.
Who is that?
Oh, I forgot his name. I have to look. But it's...
I mean, how do you keep finding these people?
I don't know.
49 cents left on your budget.
Have you seen our farm league? It's crazy. God,
it's
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All right, House, I think you're going to give us... Or are we going to Pope from... across, yeah, Pope's gonna,
I think
do,
Pope's
a little,
gonna do it. He's at least gonna cover the European squad.
Oh,
that's who he's voting for now.
Let's talk Ryder Cup. Brian Pope, for take it away.
Yes,
Sheboygan. You know,
your favorite Sunday morning quarterback from Texas has decided to embed himself with the Euros. My voice, you can hear.
What's the feedback over there? What are they saying?
I've been partying with a bunch of Euros this week, trying to understand the psyche of why they kick our fucking ass every 2 years. And it's all about enthusiasm and team spirit and giving a shit about your fellow golfer and doing something not for money, but for pride. And it's not about one country over here. It's about a collective unit of guys who just love to kick the U.S.'s ass. Last night, full disclosure, I'm on a boat going to a full moon party on a Croatian island at a bar.
Partying your ass Indian. Off with Victor Hovland.
And I'm sitting next to, I'm probably 20 years older than everybody else. And I'm sitting next to some guys from London, and we're talking EPL, but mainly we're talking Ryder Cup, and they're talking smack about how they're going to come over to Whistling Straits and kick our ass because our guys don't give a shit. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I've had that issue with the U.S. for years. Here's some stats. You know, guys, I love stats, right? Since 1995, the Euros have 9 wins and the U.S. has 3. And every fucking time we play, we are ranked higher than they are in the world. This year, it should not be even close. We have 10 of the top 13 golfers in the world. Euros have John Rahm, number 1, Victor Hovland, number 14, and Rory, number 15. Our captain picks were all in the top 25. Their captain picks, Sergio, number 43, Lowry, number 42, and Pulse, number 50. All serious veterans of the Ryder Cup, all winners, and all guys who know how to get it done on Sunday when it matters. And here's my other bitch about the Ryder Cup for the U.S. Why the fuck are we playing at Whistling Straits, which is an Irish Lynx course, basically?
Right,
it's what
right.
These guys play all right. The time. We
right.
Never take advantage of our home courses. Like, last time we kicked their ass was in Valhalla in Kentucky. I mean, those guys had no chance there, right? But no, let's go play on the fucking Whistling Straits. Or years ago, we played, you know, at Kiowa, which is another Lynx course. And we won that only because Longer missed a 6-foot putt. So this guys, I love the Ryder Cup. It's probably one of my favorite competitions to watch. I'll be watching it from a Euro perspective. I'll be reporting on that as much as I can, my correspondent here. I'm telling you, there's a lot of enthusiasm for the Euros over here. I'd love to hear it from the other side of the pond, how the U.S. is going to possibly survive the Euro onslaught, even though on paper, it shouldn't even be a fucking match.
I guess given the fact that you were talking about Dallas's good loss last week, it shouldn't surprise me that one of your favorite things to watch is us get our ass kicked every time yeah. They do this event, right? So, you know, Pope likes losing, apparently. That's the takeaway at this point.
Likes moral There's, victories.
There are some interesting stats related to this. You know, Pope is right. This is a seasoned veteran team. The European team, 1/3 of it is over 41 years old. The average age on the European team is 34.5. They brought 6 guys over from England on this European team to play a Lynx course. The USA has 6 rookies. 4 of our 12 players are over 30. None are over 40. 8 of our players are under 30. But listen, let me just rattle off the USA team and tell me if we are going to lose on home turf. Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Dan Berger, Patrick Cantlay, Bryson DeChambeau, Harris English, Tony Finau, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and Scottie Scheffler. We are not losing this year. We are not losing this Ryder Cup. Not happening.
There's a rumor going around that Morikawa hurt his back.
Well, that wouldn't be good for sure.
Yeah, no. But you're right. We have 6 first timers and the Europeans have like 2, maybe 3.
3, yeah.
And one of them, I don't know, Pope, you think, I thought Lowry was his first Ryder Cup. Am I wrong about that?
No. He played the Ryder Cup after his British Open.
I have Lowry down as a rookie.
I think they have 2 or 3 rookies.
Oh, you know what? You're right, because of COVID. So this is the 3-year. Yeah,
Lowry. It's been three years since we last played it.
Yeah, Hovland's a rookie.
Hovland, Bern Wiesberger, and Lowry are their rookies.
Yeah.
The problem is
ranked like 60.
The Euros have learned to play the Ryder Cup and all of these tournaments as a team.
Our guys are so individualistic. They hate each other. A lot of them.
They don't even talk to each other. They won't even talk to each other.
It's not just Brooksy and you know, DeChambeau. Like, I don't, I think Brooks and DJ have issues.
What does that matter? What does the team chemistry mean in the Ryder Cup? Why is it an issue?
Well, like when Seve Ballesteros used to, you know, talk to his younger players and give them all the inside scoop and the course knowledge and, you know, just the veteran guidance. And you got guys, I mean, I saw an article today where they're basically saying you can't put DeChambeau on a foursome. He, you know, nobody will play with the guy. No one will speak with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't work.
Watch the body language during four ball. The Euros love it. They read each other's cuts. They help each other. They give advice to each other. The U.S., they don't listen, except the exception of Spieth and JT, who are a great team, and I think they'll do well. But the Euros, they help each other. They care for each other. It's just completely different. And in match play, all you golfers, we all know this, in match play, you do not have to be the best golfer to win. You just have to be the best competitor and grind out there. And get a break here and break there. And the Euros always get the breaks, guys. Just look at history. They get the breaks, except for Justin Leonard's put at Brookline in 1999. The Euros get the breaks.
I think because half of our team are rookies, because they're so young, because of these personality differences, I actually think a lot is on Steve Stricker this year as the captain. I mean, and he's very popular, very well liked. He could really be a hero if he returns the cup to us and is able to meld these young guns into a winning team. So I'm rooting for Stricker.
Well,
I think we're going to do this one. I think we're going to pull it off.
Believe it or not, despite Pope's tone, that was not the punchable face of the week segment for the SMQBs this week. It seemed as if Pope wanted to go there and nominate the U.S. Ryder Cup teams of the past and maybe future as our punchable face of the week.
It's this week's punchable face.
But
very worried who he's rooting for.
Rooster, you got a real punchable face.
Oh, I've got a real one. Olé, olé. My background here is a referee throwing a flag, which I think I saw about 1,500 times this past weekend watching football. I mean, it seemed like every third down a flag was thrown. It seemed like it definitely affected two games pretty heavily, at least two, maybe three. The Giants Washington game and definitely the Chargers game. They had 99 yards and penalties called against them and two touchdowns called back. But worse than that are these goddamn taunting calls that they're coming up with for things that I never knew were taunting. It's like, you know, people joke about the no fun league, but you apparently can't celebrate or show any passion whatsoever anymore after a play. The Texans wide receiver spun the ball after he made a great catch. Every wide receiver does that, right?
Yeah.
That's now a taunting penalty. I didn't know that. Keenan Allen gets speared head to the ear hole in his helmet and gets up and jaws at the guy. They throw the flag on him for taunting.
Unbelievable.
That's bullshit. That was bullshit. Russell Wilson, who's, you know, the league protects at all costs, and he's like the golden boy, you know, did a little Hulk move after making a good play. Taunting flag comes out on him. And, you know, your guy on the Bucks, Edwards, right?
Yeah.
Makes an interception in the end zone, turns around and just tosses the ball over the goalpost.
That was terrible.
I mean, people used to dunk on the goalpost, right? He gets a taunting flag for that. I mean, what is wrong with the league that they're trying to take all the fun out of the game? One guy was quoted as saying, "You don't know if you can be even happy out there without being penalized." They're trying to ruin the game. They're trying to ruin the game. The NFL needs a punch in the face for this. They're going too far, and they're taking the fun out of it. Every game is interrupted. Every good play, you're just holding your breath. Oh my God, where's the flag? It's going to come down.
Even Romo said it. Romo said it the other day. He was like, "Well, this is like watching an NBA game when there's a penalty. The last 2 seconds are going to take 20 minutes."
Yeah.
But do they make an exception for the team defense when they get an interception? They can all run into the end zone.
Yeah, and what is that?
I don't understand that. What's the exception?
That was supposed to be a COVID only move when there were no fans in the stands and they got to go in front of that big TV, but they keep doing it. And that's not taunting.
That's not taunting.
I mean, this is, makes no sense. None.
Yeah.
All right. Good job. NFL giving the MLB a run for its money on fucking everything up. So, well, let's move on from punchable face to, we have a good Ted Lasso this week that I want to do. So TJ Friedl, a rookie, comes up in the sixth inning and he gets his first hit as a major league player. And hey, it's a home run. And that's pretty cool. And so in order to get him the ball back, Mookie Betts goes out, talks to the fan, and makes a deal with the fan who caught the ball. Give me the ball, and I'll make a trade with you. And so he comes back and gives him a Mookie Betts game baseball bat in exchange for the ball. Now, why, you might say, is this a Ted Lasso moment? Why is this deserving of a Ted Lasso? Because Mookie Betts plays for who, House?
Boston Red Sox. I mean,
the
Los Angeles Dodgers. Los Angeles Dodgers. I still think
Betts plays for the Dodgers. And TJ Friedl, who hit the home run, plays for
Giants?
The Cincinnati Reds.
Oh.
So opposing player hits a home run, and Betts, standing out there, has the thought and the generosity, really. I mean, Betts is a superstar, probably the best player in the game, if not top five. And he has the presence of mind and the compassion to make a trade of his bat and go into the stands and get the ball for a kid playing on the other team who just got his first hit. That's pretty much the definition of a lasso in my book. So good yep. job, Mookie
yep.
Betts.
Yep, good Ted Lasso.
Good one,
Bison. Good one.
Nice work, Bison.
Can we add one other mini Ted Lasso for the week?
We're running late, but yeah, sure. I think this is probably worth it.
The Ted Lasso show got all the Emmys.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They did get all the Emmys, but there's a kid from Florida who has been working his way up into the major leagues. And he's been struggling for a while in the minors, but he finally got his chance, and he went to a big test, and he passed it, and he's going to be playing in the majors. And that kid is none other than Patrick Mikler.
Yes,
Milker.
Thank you.
He's going to
welcome
be a winner.
Welcome to the show, buddy.
Welcome to the show, kid.
Passed one of the hardest bar exams in the country.
I blacked out. What happened? Did I pass?
Well, that's what you told us. That's what you told us.
You're the first SMQB to be awarded a lasso.
Yeah. And it's like, well earned.
Congratulations, like Milk.
It's like that scene in Old School where Will Ferrell does the debate against the LSU guy. He's like, "What happened? I passed out."
Against James Carville.
Right, James Carville.
Oh, God. Congratulations, Milk.
We toasted you across the pond at a Croatian full moon party, dude. So congrats.
Congrats.
Congrats, Milk. Good one. Good lasso. Hey, good show, everybody. Enjoy the week. We got more football coming up, and we got an F1 race, baseball playoffs, golf, everything.
Monday Lots night going. Football.
Our girls Lots are going down.
Let's win at least one.
What's the bet? What's the bet on Eagles Cowboys?
Yeah.
What are we giving them? 3.5?
Yeah. Yeah, you're giving us, I think, maybe more.
Last I looked, it was 4.5.
Four. 4.5.
I'll give you 4.5.
Okay. All right.
The usual.
I'll take the 4.5. What's the bet?
No, the bet is that the loser has to have a background for the next episode picked by the winner.
Ooh. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Fair enough.
Big Blue is still waiting for $20 from you, Bison.